All right. Morning, everyone. Daf Kuf Yud Gimel in Zvachim. Okay. The long Masechta. It's been a really long Masechta, but we're almost done. Another week to go. We finish a week from today, the Masechus. We're in the 14th parak of Zvachim. We are also pretty much up to speed. We're going to start halfway down the page on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. We haven't been really up to pace in a while. So that's good. And today's a fantastic daf. They're all fantastic. I mean, every one of them. Just, you know, some of them are more exciting and interesting than others. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that, but I'll say it. Just as long as I'm not recorded saying it, that's fine. So we'll start in the middle of the Mishnah. We're on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, and we're right in the middle. We're up to the words Ad Shelo Hukam. Okay, it's a long Mishnah. A lot of people ask me, is this the longest Mishnah in Shas? I don't know if it's the longest Mishnah. Look. The truth of the matter is that if you open up Mishnayos, which I don't have in front of me right now, you'll see that what the Mishnayos do is it breaks it up into little Mishnayos. So it happens to be in the format of the Gemara. The Gemara lumps all these Mishnayos together and then reserves its commentary after quoting all the Mishnayos. Why doesn't it break it up into sections? Okay, whatever. That's not for now. Ashla Hukama Mishkan. Okay, now I mentioned that we are transitioning at this point in the Mishnah to the topic of Bamos. We are starting it's a new topic, but it's related obviously to what we were discussing the past couple of weeks, and that is Shchutei Chutzan Halabachus. You're not allowed to offer carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. And as I mentioned yesterday, this mitzvah and iser of offering in the Beis HaMikdash and not offering outside the Beis HaMikdash, is suspended for certain historical times. Notably, really, there are only two times to talk about. Notably, the 14 years after having gone to Eretz Yisrael. So those are 14 years that we are both conquering the land, 7 years for conquering, 7 years for dividing. So that for those 14 years, the bamos were permissible. Even though, by the way, there was a main bama in the town of Gilgal. Okay, and then the Mishkan was then built. Mishkan lasted for 369 years. Somewhat underrated, right? We had a Mishkan in Shiloh for close to four centuries, right? As long as the first Beis HaMikdash lasted 410 years, second Beis HaMikdash lasted for 420 years, you had a Mishkan in Shiloh, which almost was the same amount of time, right? And that lasted during all the period of all those Shoftim, right? So that was 369 years. The Mishkan in Shiloh was destroyed. And then we have another historical period in time where your backyard was an acceptable place to offer a carbon. And that was the periods of Nov and Givon. Nov and Givon were, again, those are two towns where the main Mishkan was set up, the main Bama was set up. But during those times, you can offer in your backyards. I think, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that was 52-year period where where we had bamos permissible. So really, in total, we're talking about a 14-year period when we come into Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about a 52-year period between the building of Shiloh and the building of the first Beis HaMikdash. So you're really not talking about a lot of years, historically, relatively speaking, with the rest of history. Okay, let's go. So before the Mishkan was built, the Mishkan over here we're talking about in the desert. So before the Mishkan was built, so hayu abamos mutaros. So you're allowed to build a bama, right? Yaakov Avinu built the bama, and Noach, right? We could go back even that far. Noach built the bama. So va'avoda bebechoros. Now who did the avoda, the bechor, right? The oldest did the avoda, right? Which
is, how did it change? Huh?
The Levium, the Cheta Eagle, but the Cheta Eagle, the Bechor lost it. So I guess it would prompt a question. Yaakov is not the Bechor, so how could Yaakov offer on an Obama? Okay, I guess we can answer.
That's why he purchased the
Bechor. Okay, so Mutar's Avodah Bechor, Mishkan, but once the Mishkan was set up. Now the bamos are no longer permissible. We're now discussing the 40 years being in the desert. The avoda was done by the kohanim. Now chatas asham, where they eaten, they are eaten inside the curtains. In other words, there was a partition where you can only eat your chatas and asham within that partition. Now your shlamim can be eaten anywhere in the camp of Israel, Baal of Gilgal. Then they go to Gilgal. So in other words, now we are in Eretz Yisrael, and we're now in that 14-year period of Kivush v'chaluka, acquisition and division. So Hutra Abamos, so here we go. For these 14 years, Abamos were permissible, which means now as far as your kachim are concerned, so they can only be eaten within the curtains of Gilgal. Ukachim kalim b'chol makom. But kashim kalim can be eaten anywhere, because if I can offer a shlamim in my backyard, I can eat in my backyard, right? There's no iser of shchutei chutz ala b'chutz, and consequently there's no choma, there's no wall. So there's no circumscribed place where I have to eat these karbanos. I can even eat these karbanos in the comfort of my own home. Baal is Shiloh. Now after the 14 years, they go to Shiloh. So Shiloh is where they build the Mishkan. Nesru HaBamos. So once they go to Shiloh, so that's it. The Bamos now become prohibited. V'la Yesham Tikra. Now, the Mishnah tells us, I don't know why, there's got to be a reason why. The Mishnah tells us the construction of the Mishkan of Shiloh. How was it actually built? So
in the Gilgal, they did not build the Mishkan?
There was a Mishkan in Gilgal. But for those 14 years, the Bamos were permissible.
Why?
So we'll get to that later. So Ela Beis Avanim, Bilvad Milamatan Vayiras Milamalan. So how is Shiloh constructed? So it was a stone building, but it didn't have a roof, right? It Lo Hayasham Tikra didn't have a roof, but rather it was a stone building. And so what did we use for the top? So Hayirios Milamalan. We use the Yirios. Yirios are those thick draperies that were used in the Mishkan in the desert. You could suggest, although was it the same ones? I don't know. Okay, you could certainly suggest that. V'yaisa menucha, and that's menucha. Okay, get used to this type of terminology. We're going to see this a lot. That Shiloh is called menucha. The Beis Hamikdash is called nachala. Right? The pasuk says, we're going to quote the Gemara later on, we'll quote the pasuk, Ki lo basa marata el ha-menucha ve-el ha-nachala. Right? Huh? Nachala means an inheritance. Menucha means a rest. So the Shiloh, the Mishkan Shiloh is called menucha. And during menucha, that's it. All other karbanos are off. And so this 369 year period of Shiloh is called menucha. That's some rest, by the way. In other words, naps don't usually last 369 years, but Shiloh did. So yeah. So Now during this period of Shiloh, so kachikachim can be eaten within, can only be eaten within the interior wall of Shiloh, and kachim kalim maaser sheni b'chol haroa. Okay, now listen to this. You didn't have, in other words, in Yerushalayim, you had the walls of Yerushalayim. So that circumscribes the area of where you eat your shlamim when there was a Beis Hamikdash, but we're not there yet. We're back. We're in a prototype. We're in the Mishkan Shiloh. So Mishkan Shiloh, it was in the city of Shiloh. It didn't have walls around it. So what determined the area in which I can eat shlamim? So the Mishnah says, b'chol haroa. I have to have visibility. I have to be able to see Shiloh. That's the place where I can eat. Balano v'givon. Shiloh's destroyed. Plishim destroyed Shiloh. And now we go to Nov and Givon, and we build a Mishkan in Nov and Givon. Why two towns? Why Nov and Givon? Meaning it wasn't two places. Right? There's only one main Bama. Right? Bama Gedola. There's only one of them. So everyone know what happened? Yeah. Nov, city of Nov, that's where they originally built it. And then, you know, you're Shmuel. So Shaul went there and Shaul killed everybody, right? They held on to David and they took care of David and they provided provisions for David, and Shaul caught wind of this, and Shaul went in and did really one of the most heinous acts, and he killed everybody in Nov, killed all the Kohanim in Nov, and so they had to move from Nov to Givon. Okay? That's where they killed the Kohanim. Baal Nov Givon Hutra Abamos. So they were mat to the Bamos at that point in time during this Nov Givon period. Again, I think it's 52 years. I think so. Kachikashim Nechom Lefnim and Aklaim. Now, in this period in time, Kachikashim are eaten within the curtains of Nov and Givon. Again, there must have been some sort of partition, some sort of curtains, so that you had a courtyard, you had an azara, and so all your chatas and nashim are eaten within the walls, within those partitions. Kachim kalim b'chol are Yisrael. But again, now that there's a heter bamos, and everyone can offer in their backyard, so you go to your backyard and you offer there, and you eat your shlemim right there. Okay, now Bala Yerushalayim. So now we go to Yerushalayim, and we're going to now go into the first temple period. Nesu habamos v'lo ha'ita lahem heter. And at that point in time, there was no longer any heter, right? The slight correction of the mission, v'lo ha'ita od heter. That's it. We're done. Meaning even after the destruction of the first temple, there's no longer a period of heter. V'ya'ita nachala, and that now is referred to nachala. Okay, so our second big term of the day, Nachala. So Shiloh is Menucha, and the Beis HaMikdash Yerushalayim is called Nachala. Kachi, Kachim Nechal Mufnim and Akalayim. So your Kachi, Kachim are eaten within the Kalayim, within the curtains. And Kachi, Kalim, Master, Shaina Lufnim and Achoma. And now we have a city of Yerushalayim, we have a wall around Yerushalayim. And so you eat within the Chomas Yerushalayim, all your Shlamim. Kol HaKadashim Shehikdishim B'Shas Yisra Abamos. Now the Mishnah tells us, what do I violate and when do I violate it? For example, let's go with the easy case where when I was makdish the animal, there was no heter bamos, which means it was either during the period of Shiloh or from Yerushalayim and on. So if I was makdish the animal during that time and I offer the animal during that time outside the Beis HaMikdash, so that's it. I'm going to get everything. The whole book is going to get thrown at me. Hare elu ba'aseva lo sa'aseh. You violate the positive commandment and the negative commandment. Positive commandment, the pasuk says in Parshas Achrimos, Perek Yizayin Pasuk Hey, there the Yum LaHashem el Pesach Ol Moed. You bring it to Pesach Ol Moed. That's a mitzvah sa'aseh. That's the positive commandment. The lo sa'aseh, the negative commandment. So Rashi takes us to Parshas Re'eh, where the pasuk says, Yishamer lecha penta ala losecha bechol makom asher tireh. Don't bring it to anywhere you see. Right, the word Yishamer is a lav. The pen, the al, the Yishamer, those are all lavim in the Torah. Those are negative prohibitions. So you have violated nase, you have violated losase, v'chayavan alav kares. And now that you've successfully violated both, there's also a kares that comes along with it, assuming that you did it intentionally. More right. Yes. Yep. And Menucha is just a resting area. Higdishim b'shas heter abamos v'kirim b'shas yisra abamos. How about this? How about that when I was makdish the animal, so my backyard was fine, and then I tarried, I delayed, and then by the time I offered it, right, Shiloh was built or Yerushalayim was built. So now what? Hare elu ba'aseh v'lo sa'aseh v'ein chayavin alav kares. So here there's no kares, right? It's based on psukim, it's based on drushas. We went over these drushas about a week ago in the daf, Rashi quotes, kuvav amud beis. Okay, there's no ister kares. There's no onesh kares. Higdish b'shas ister abamos v'yikrim b'shas heter abamos. Okay, how about the other way? How about when I was makdish it, there was an Isra Abamos, meaning it was like the end of the Shiloh period. So I was makdish the animal. But by the time I offered it, there was Heter Abamos. Shiloh was destroyed. Hare elu ba'aseh, v'ein bahem lo sa'aseh. There is an aseh, but no lo sa'aseh. Okay, really interesting. Because when I was makdish it, so then I was bound by the pasuk of Vaviyum El LaHashem El Pesach Ol Moed. Meaning at the time when I was makdish it, the Torah's instructions are, okay, now you know where to bring it. Okay, so that's a mitzvah saseh. It happens to be that by the time I brought it, there was no place to bring it, but still there was a mitzvah saseh, which doesn't leave. But
I was delaying it, didn't I?
It's another issue. Okay, but there's no lo saseh. If I do offer this outside, there's no negative prohibition because the Torah says you can't bring it b'chol makom asher tireh, but now I'm allowed to, so I didn't violate the lo saseh. The ilu kachim, fine. Okay, so that section of the Mishnah takes us through the isurim, right? So there's an aseh, there's a lo saseh, and there's an onesh kares. Sometimes you get all three, sometimes you only get two out of three, and sometimes you only get one of the three. Okay. Eilu kashim kraven b'mishkan. So what is offered on the Mishkan? Kashim shekdushu l'mishkan. Things which are sanctified to the Mishkan, karbanat sibar, kraven b'mishkan. The karban sibar is offered on the Mishkan. Karbanat seyachid b'bama. If you have an individual karban, so that you can offer in your backyard. Meaning, during this 14-year period, 52-year period, where bamos were mutaros, where they were permissible, still I can only bring a karban yachid. Only an individual karban. I can't bring a karban sibar into my backyard. Now, if I make a during these periods of 1452 years, if I say, you know what, I want to take this to Gilgal, I want to take it to Nov, I want to take it to Givon, so you should. Meaning, even though you have a heter, you have permission to bring it to your backyard, but if you stipulate and state, I want to bring it to those places, so then you should. Now, if you go back and you renege and you offer it in your backyard, so you have exemption. Meaning you didn't violate an isser per se. Now you didn't keep your word, right? So that's a problem. But you're not gonna get you're not gonna get an isser for shchut echutz halah b'chutz. Ma bein bamat yach lebamat zibur. Now we get to the end of the Mishnah. So what are some of the other differences between a bamat yachid versus a bamat sibor? Meaning, in your backyard, so what do you need and what don't you need? So most of the things is what don't you need. Okay? And they are, short list, not so short. Smicha. Okay, you don't have to lean on the animal when you offer carbon in your backyard. Two, shchita safon. You don't have to go to the north part of your little backyard mizbeach.
Somebody needs to authorize the
bomb? No, it doesn't seem that way. I'm a little confused. What northern carbon would I be offering in my backyard? Carbonola. Right. Anola snadava. Okay, good. I'm not confused. I'm back. Matan saviv. Right. In terms of the actual blood application, so by a regular carbon, I got to hit all four walls, right? Shtaim Shein Dalit, two, which is four. Not true in my backyard.
There is Rika,
but I don't have to hit all four walls. Tenufa, I don't have to wave the pieces of the carbon, which is required by a regular carbon. Hagasha, presentation. Now, Rav Yehuda Omer, Ein Mincha Bebama. Okay, Rav Yehuda happens to be of the opinion that you never offer a carbon mincha, even in a dava, or I should say only in a dava. There's no mincha offering in your backyard bama.
There's libation.
Sure.
As a part of the
Korban. Of course. Huh?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
What's libations?
I don't know. Mishnah doesn't talk about Nesachim. Vikiyun. Also, you don't need kahuna in your backyard. So I can go into my own backyard and offer in my own backyard. Big day sharets, there's no begadim, right? Can wear whatever I want. You should dress up, by the way. I mean, it's a carbon. I don't know what the dress requirement is, but I'm saying, you know what I mean? You're offering a carbon. Okay, right? Same thing, right? It's like going to davening. Correct. I agree. Big day sharets, so kli sharets. And none of the klisharis. You don't need a special keli. Anything you have in your house is fine. Reach nicholach. Here's an interesting one. You don't need reach nicholach. Now I always thought reach nicholach meant a pleasant odor, and that's what I mean. That's, don't get me wrong. That's correct. But what does that mean? I don't need reach nicholach when I offer in my backyard. So Rashi says reach nicholach. I mean, prepared Beit Shammai. We're going way back. Right, to mem vavam and base. Right, l'shem shisha drayim hazevach nizbach. Right, there are six kavanas that you need when you offer a karban. Right, we learned earlier in the Masechta. L'shem reich lafuke evarim shatzam v'helam she'in b'hem mishom reich nichoach. Evarim, limbs that are first roasted and then offered. No, you don't want that. Meaning you want to offer it fresh on the mizbeach. There's a general requirement that it has to produce a good odor. You know when someone's barbecuing next door to you? Right? You know it. You smell it. It's good. It's delicious. So that, you want that. In other words, you want the reach nichoch. There is no reach nichoch requirement in your backyard. Okay.
It's going to be produced anyways. I mean,
generally, correct.
What do you mean generally?
Yeah.
What do you mean generally? 100%. Why do you say general? 100% is going to be good.
Yeah, but you could. You, in other words, what you could do is you could roast it first and then offer it on the mizbech, and it's not going to. Okay. Umechitza ledamim. Also, you don't need a midpoint line. Meaning, by your mizbech in Shiloh or in the Beis Hamikdash, so you have a line separating the top from the bottom. There is none of that. There isn't that requirement in your backyard. You don't have to wash your hands and feet. Okay. So all these things are not needed for your bama siachet, for your backyard bama.
Even if the person was a kohen.
Yeah. Right. It would seem to be that none of these are required. Aval hazman hanoser v'hatam ishavim b'zeh v'zeh. However, zman, pigle, right? That's going to apply to your backyard bama. So if I get up there and I shecht and I say, and it's a shlamim, for example, and I say, I'm going to eat this 3 days from now, so you have violated the isra of pigle. Pigle would apply to your backyard bama. Nosar, leaving it over, that would apply as well. Tamei, offering the carbon while being tamei, that would apply as well. So these things would apply to your backyard.
What happens to the parts that they have to give kohanim for shlamim?
Good question. I don't know.
It doesn't say it's not required or required. It doesn't say anything.
Okay, I would assume yes. Not 100% sure.
Bring it over.
Okay. All right, we start with the Gemara, and there's an exciting Gemara coming up today. But we are going to be, our conversation today in the Gemara is going to be extraordinarily focused. It's all going to springboard from the first line of the Mishnah. Go back to the beginning of the Mishnah, of the 14th Perek, and look at that first line again. The first line of the Mishnah was about the Paraduma. The Paraduma, as we talked about, is shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash. Shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash, burned outside the Beis HaMikdash. Reduced to ashes, the ashes are mixed with water, and that, from that point forward, is used to be metahir. It purifies people who comes into contact with Tumas Meis. Okay. The Mishnah reads, I'll read the Mishnah, Paras Chata Shesarfa Chutz Migita. If I burn the Paras Chata, that's the Mishnaic way of talking about the Paraduma, Paras Chata is, if it's burnt outside of its pit, there's a certain pit that was designated, this is way outside Yerushalayim, this is on the Har HaMishcha, Har Zesim, and there was a certain pit that was designated to burn the Paraduma. So what the Mishnah is telling me is that if I burn it outside the pit, I didn't violate Shchut Echutz or Halah Bechutz. Well, certainly not Shchut Echutz. I didn't violate Halah Bechutz. And the reason why, the Mishnah told us, is because this is the Paraduma. Paraduma is not offered in the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore I can't, by definition, violate the Yisr of Halah Bechutz.
But it couldn't be counted as like a regular korban.
You could, but the Mishnah is telling us don't.
Well, why not?
Because it's not offered in the Beis HaMikdash.
If somebody found the Paraduma one thing as an offering, regular offering, shlamin, or olah, it's not acceptable?
It's not a korban. It's, you know, you can, it has kedusha, but it's not a korban. It's not offered in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not sprinkled. The blood's not sprinkled on the mizbeach.
But no, it's not a it's just a red heifer. No.
I think it means if it's not designated as the paraduma, just you find the paraduma.
Oh, okay.
If you find it,
I understand. But we're talking
about. You offer it?
Yeah, but we're talking about the paraduma. Okay, now my chutz migito. Now, just the terminology of the Mishnah. What does that mean outside of its pit? What pit are we talking about? Where is this pit? So, Amar Reish Lakish chutz mimakam abadukla. So, Reish Lakish says there was actually a pit, and Reish Lakish says that the pit was checked. It was examined, meaning they wanted to make sure that there was no mace, there was no dead bodies lying around the area. So that what they would do is they would go to an area, examine the area, inspect the area. Right, security detail, make sure that there was no dead bodies in that area. That area would be ribboned off, right, yellow tape, and that area would be the area designated for the burning of the Paraduma.
That's interesting.
Okay. Wait. Let's a lot to go through first, and then I'll open the door for questions. So Amalo Rav Yochanan Valo Kol Eretz Yisrael Betukihi. So Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, what are you talking about? Eretz Yisrael in its entirety is baduk. Well, there's no possible dead bodies buried anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. We would know about it. There's something called cemeteries. That's where the dead bodies are. But outside of that, I assume, says Rav Yochanan, that Kol Eretz Yisrael, the entire Israel, is already examined and made sure that there's no dead bodies around. So, fine. So that's Rav Yochanan's position. You're going to see this is going to open up a Pandora's box into an unbelievable debate, okay, which we'll get to in just a moment. But before that point in time, how does Rav Yochanan understand our Mishnah? Elam Rav Yochanan kigon sheshachtu lefnim in chamas Yerushalayim. Rav Yochanan says, you know what the Mishnah is telling us? It's telling us like this. What if I shecht the paraduma in the walls of Yerushalayim? That's a no-no. You can't do that. The paraduma has to be taken outside of all Gimel Machanas. Right? We talked about that earlier. We darshened Psukim earlier in terms of that halacha. So what Rav Yochanan says is, if I shechted it inside Chomas Yerushalayim, inside the walls of Yerushalayim, that's what Chutz Migita means, outside of the pit. So V'lukma Kagon Sheshachta Chutz Chomas Shlo Keneged HaPesach. The Gemara says, you know, Rav Yochanan, you could have given an easier pshat, right? Which is, how about this? How about shechting it outside Yerushalayim, but not facing Pesach Chol HaMoed? Now, Har HaZeisim is directly east of the entrance into the Beis HaMikdash. So that when you shecht your paraduma and you burn your paraduma, you can actually look into the Beis HaMikdash through its eastern entrance. So, maybe, Rav Yochanan, can't you say this? How about this as a pshat in the Mishnah? Maybe you shechted it outside of Yerushalayim, but not immediately opposed to, not facing the entrance to the Pesach Ol HaMoed. In fact, if you do that, it's no good. It's disqualified. Shenemar, the pasuk says, you must shecht the keneged haPesach. That's a requirement. A requirement that's ma'akev. And v'chitei madalo makish. And maybe Rav Yochanan doesn't have such a hekesh. Okay, so maybe Rav Yochanan disagrees. The Gemara says, we know that's not true. We get to skip a little bit. These next three lines of Gemara we're going to skip. To just go immediately to after the parentheses. V'ha'itmar sreifa sarfa shlo keneged haPesach. If I burn a paraduma, shlo keneged haPesach, Rav Yochanan amar psula. Rav Yochanan says it's no good. Rav Oshi amar kshera. And Rav Yochanan amar psula v'sara v'hiza. Rav Yochanan makes a hekesh. Bingo. Right? You see Rav Yochanan does create a hekesh. Rav Oshi amar kshera al pirsha yisrof makam shaparesha slamisa sham tehe sreifa sa. And Rav Oshi says no. Al pirsha yisrof, meaning you're going to shecht it. It's going to make some sort of involuntary movement. It'll jump around a little bit. Wherever it dies, that's where you burn it. It doesn't have to be opposite the base. I think that's just Rav Oshia's opinion. But again, the point is that we see that Rav Yochanan feels strongly it's ma'akev that you must burn it opposite the base of Mikdash. So why didn't Rav Yochanan just offer this simple pshat? What does our Mishnah mean when the Mishnah says Chutz Migita? It means simply, I shechted it, not facing Ol HaMoed. Amri, they say, who's the mysterious they? It means they're the Beis Medrash, meaning when they were going over this, when they were learning the sugya. So Amri, they say, Lo mi baye kamar. Yeah, you know, Rav Yochanan, you're right and we're right. But both points are correct. Look, outside where I'm at a distance, so and I'm not facing, that for sure is no good. But I'm tiskasher. But look, if I'm closer to the base of Mikdash, I might have thought tiskasher that should make it okay. Okay, so Kamashlan, that's the Chiddush. Rav Yochanan is providing for us even a bigger Chiddush. If I'm not facing the Beis HaMikdash, if the Paraduma is not directly facing the Beis HaMikdash, that's no good. And even if it is, but it's interior to the walls of Yerushalayim, that's also no good. And that's the Chiddush of Rav Yochanan.
What does mean interior?
Interior means interior. How else am I supposed to say?
Inside.
Oh. Right. Okay. Amar Mar. Okay, and now we go. And one of the most fascinating debates that takes place, it's certainly going to be extraordinarily interesting. Everyone just saw what happened. Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish are arguing whether Eretz Yisrael is beduka, whether or not the land of Israel is actually pre-examined for any mason, for any dead bodies. What is the issue? So Amalo Rav Yochan Valokai Eretz Yisrael Beduki Bamaika Miflegi. What is the argument? Mar Savar Yarad Mabul Eretz Yisrael Mar Savar Lo Yarad. Okay, there was a flood. I'm sure everyone's heard about this flood. Yeah. Yeah, right? So in Parshas Noach, so Kadosh Baruch Hu had it, like he was done with mankind, and so he floods the world and saves the family. Okay, people are familiar. Where did the flood go? Okay, so where did the flood go? So Rav Yochanan says, not Eretz Yisrael. Right? No flood in Eretz Yisrael did not go. Now, we usually assume that the deluge is a year was a global deluge, and Rav Yochanan says, good, that's not my assumption. My assumption is Eretz Yisrael was not affected by the flood. There was no flood in Eretz Yisrael, which means, consequently, that, right, there were, somewhat of a gruesome picture, but dead bodies were running around in the water, floating around the water. Finally, when the water came down, all the dead bodies came down, and so throughout the world, there are dead bodies all over the place. Rav Yochanan says, good, but not in Eretz Yisrael. Didn't happen in Eretz Yisrael, therefore none of the dead bodies fell and submerged itself into the ground of Eretz Yisrael, so therefore you have no Tumas Mase concern in Eretz Yisrael. No, that is Shitas Rav Yochanan.
You know, it's interesting because the parsha of Noah specifically talks about how the water covered the entire earth and all.
I'm gonna come back to that. Give me a little time. Let me develop.
What about the
Okay, but known. That's all known. What the Mabul creates is uncertainty.
Right.
It's unknown. And what Rav Yochanan says is, yeah, but we don't have that uncertainty because the Mabul never entered Eretz Yisrael. Reish Lakish disagrees. Reish Lakish says, no, the Mabul came to Eretz Yisrael and landed in Eretz Yisrael. And so therefore, the uncertainty of possibly bodies being buried sporadically and unknown throughout all of Eretz Yisrael, that exists even in Eretz Yisrael. Just wait. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Ushnei Mikra Echad Darshu. Now, proofs, right? Psukim that speak to each position. So both of them actually turn to the same pasuk in Yechezkel. Ben Adon Amar Las Eretz Lo Mitara Hilo Gushama Bayom Zaam. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu says to Yechezkel, always calls him Ben Adam. I am not expert in Yechezkel. Not expert. I'm beyond not expert. But whenever Kadosh Baruch Hu talks to Yechezkel, he always calls him Ben Adam. Ben Adam Amar La, you see in all the Haftarahs, every time Yechezkel comes up in the Haftarah, you'll see it's always Ben Adam. Ben Adam Amar La, et Eretz lo mitara hi lo gushama biyom za'am. No geshem, no rain on the day of Kadosh Baruch Hu's anger. So Rav Yochanan Savra Edmui Mat Makra. So Rav Yochanan says, you know how you read the pasuk? You read it as a rhetorical question. Eretz Yisrael mi lo mitara is klum yardu alecha gishamim biyom zaam. Eretz Yisrael went untouched. It went unaffected. Right? That's what Hakadosh Baruch Hu is telling Yechezkel. That's how you read the pasuk. Reish Lakish shavu kepashtei eretz lo mitara et mi lo yardu alecha gishamim biyom zaam. What do you mean? What do you think? You think Eretz Yisrael wasn't hit with the rain as well? Okay, so simple machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan turns into a simple machlokas of how to read a pasuk in Yechezkel. Okay, and here we go. And we are now going to start with a series of challenges back and forth between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and really comes down to the whole debate today, and this is going to be the rest of today, is that was Eretz Yisrael was included in the Mabul or not. I'm going to take you through an interesting Tosfos. Oh, such an interesting Tosfos. Lo Yarad Mabul Eretz Yisrael. Okay, everyone with me? We're going to go through the entirety of this Tosfos, where he's going to discuss the following. Tema v'haksi v'ayichasu kol ha'arim gvoim asher tachas kol ha'shamayim. So Ben, this is basically your question. Right, Tosfos says, if you read the Parsha Noach, it sounds pretty clear from the Parsha Noach that the flood flooded the whole world. It says in the Parsha, Kol ha'arim ha'gvorim asher tachas kol ha'shamayim. Okay. And so what's Rav Yochanan going to do with that?
And also says that every man who was walking on earth died. I mean, it's specifically because every man that was walking on earth
died.
So why would that, no?
Right. Okay, good. So, good. These are strong questions. And really, the simple pshat of the Psukim and Noach. And we're going to learn a medrash together this morning. We don't learn medrashim that often. We're going to learn a medrash together this morning. And the simple pshat is like Reish Lakish. really Reish Lakish has got simplicity on his side, and I happen to like simplicity. So let's see this inside. Over Reishis Rabba, and he quotes now from the Medrash. Reishis Rabba Amrinan, the Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi uvahamei echad hayuhochem aderech. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi is a Tana. He was walking with Bahamei, the donkey driver, some sort of animal driver. His driver, let's call him that. So Pirish Bahamei Shomer Behemos Amar Lahon Hahu Kusai. So they bump into a Kusi, some non-Jew. Actually, no, I take it back. In this story, he really is a Kusi. So Isot Sluy Al Turi Grizim. You know what we do? We pray to Har Grizim, right? The Samaritans. Right, in Israel nowadays, you bump into a Samaritan, so they bow and they offer their karbanos on Har Grizim, and I'll tell you why, says the Kusi, Delo nachis aleh tufni, because it never got hit with the flood. Har Grizim became was totally unaffected by the flood, so it must be a holy place. Amar osa bahamalefnei Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yosi. Now the driver. Now in other words, so this is what the Kusi attacks him with. This is his belief system. That I pray to Har Grizim because it wasn't affected by the flood. So the driver of Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yosi says to Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yosi, with your permission, can I answer this guy? That's great, by the way. It really is great because it's an element of kavod, meaning you don't want to answer in front of somebody who is greater than you, and so he asks permission to speak. Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi, so Rabbi Tainli Rishus Lahashiv Lo Tshuva. So would you give me permission to speak? I'm Amalei Hashev. And Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi provides his driver permission to speak. I'm Amalei Har Grizim Tachas Kol HaShemayim Hu. You know, Har Grizim is underneath the Shemayim. Amalei Hain. So the Kusi says, yes, that's correct. The Lok Siv and the Pasuk says, Vayichasu kol ha'arim ha'gvoim, asher tachas kol ha'shamayim. Okay. And it says in Noach, just read your Pesukim. Right, you're a Kusi. I know you don't go for all this Torah Shabbat Pestov. I understand that. But read your Pesukim, and the Pesukim say, tachas kol ha'shamayim, kra alav. Now, the Kusi had no answer. And that was the end of the conversation. And Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi was so proud of his driver. Kra Allah v'lo yebecha akar v'akar v'akara uvivem techa. Afilu ha-baham yishebecha lo yit'akir min ha-tshuva. Somewhat of a drush on the Pasuk. Right, the Pasuk says that no one's going to go akar v'akara, you won't be sterile, you'll have babies. But on a level of drush, he understands, akar means to hold back. Meaning everybody will be able to respond and answer. And over here, the Kusi asks, you know, he feels the Har Grizim is so special, and even my behema, even my animal driver, was able to provide an answer. Period. That's the end of the Medrash. And so, what bothers Tosfos is, what's Rabbi Yochanan going to do with all this? We have a simple pshat in the pasuk, and not only that, but after learning the medrash together, it happens to be a beautiful medrash.
Why don't Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan refer to these clear pesukim?
Yeah, so that's essentially Tosfos's question. So after doing all this, what is Rabbi Yochanan going to do over here? So Tosfos to this question, it's a basic question. Tosfos provides two basic answers. Number one, Shemi Yeshlama Diviachosu Kol Arim Hainu Sheshalat Hevel Amabel Bechom Makom Kedarmin Lekaman Demesu Behavala VeOsu Kusi Hayarot Salomar Shelo Hayesham Lo Hevel Velo Shum Davar. So maybe Rav Yochanan would say like this: look, the flood only hit everywhere but Eretz Yisrael. What we're going to learn later this morning is that people in Eretz Yisrael died as well. How do they die if there's no flood over there? The heat generated by the flood. Okay, we'll see this in the Gemara in just a couple minutes from now, that the flood generated heat. And so therefore what the Kusi believed, what the Kusi believed is that this mountain of Har Grizim went totally unaffected. Unaffected by rain and unaffected by heat. And what the answer that this driver of Rabbi Shmuel was saying is, no, it was affected. Okay, that's answer number one. Possible answer number two, Inami. Lo sukusin is kavalit chos bekash. Ukra lo kash, the mamakam shiard, mabul hasam kamar, shiniskasu aharim. And what second answer, very interesting. He says, you know, the expression Tosfos uses is lidchos bekash, push him with straw. Meaning he just wanted to take the kusi off guard. Meaning, look, Rav Yochanan has got a response. The kusi also, if he, you know, if he wasn't caught so off guard, also could have a response as well. Sometimes you attack somebody. I mean, I don't. This is not a class in polemics. You know how to debate people. But sometimes when you debate people, so you throw them off guard with a question, not because the question doesn't have an answer. It does have an answer, but you just simply you catch them off guard. Right? It's like a cheap shot, if you will. And so what the driver does over here is he gives the kusi pretty much a cheap shot. But after a little bit of consideration, so what you'll say is, and this really deals with the fundamental issue, what Rav Yochanan will say is that, yeah, anywhere when the Pasuk in Noach reads, it means anywhere where it rained. It's not talking about the totality of the world. It means anywhere where it rained, that's where it got affected. Rav Yochanan says, but that's not Eretz Yisrael. It didn't rain in Eretz Yisrael.
But the two pasukim later, anybody who walked on earth died. I mean, that's,
right. The Gemara is going to ask your question later on, and the Gemara is going to say, well, you know now what the Gemara is going to say. The Gemara is going to talk about the heat. But, okay. Pashtus is like Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan is a stretch, but he's Rav Yochanan. So we're expected to understand both positions. Okay, we are. Eisvei. Back to the Gemara. Eisvei, right? Is this where? Yes. Eisvei Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan. Okay. Paraduma. How is the Paraduma prepared? So if you remember your second parak of Sukkah well, so all what I'm about to tell you is going to sound extraordinarily familiar. If you don't remember your second parak of Sukkah well, so get ready. Okay. The Pasuk says that, this is all background. The Pasuk says when it comes to the burning of the Paraduma, that is Saraf Ish Tahor. Probably doing a phenomenal job butchering the Pasuk. Right? That when the Paraduma is burnt, it's burned by an Ish Tahor, it's burned by a man who is pure. We, through our Torah Shabbat Pen, know that doesn't mean that he has to be absolutely pure, he doesn't have to be absolutely tahor. He could even be a tful yom, meaning that he got tamei, he told within the mikvah, now he's not allowed to eat truma until tonight, but he is qualified enough to burn the par aduma. Okay, that's what we believe. We don't just believe this. This is part of our Torah Shabbat Pen. This is part of our Masala. It's part of our tradition. So if you're not into the tradition, like if you're a tzeduki, for example, so you're not going to buy this. So what we did historically is that we actually were metame the person who burnt the para aduma, and we had him tov on the mikvah, and we use this point as one of our public points, public positions, that the tzedukim, we subscribe to Torah Shabbat Peh. We subscribe to the oral tradition. This is our tradition, and that's it. Okay. So it's a little bit strange, meaning the paraduma, the process of the paraduma, we would go out of our way to be metame a kohen, and then have him tovel the mikvah, so now that he's in the state of being a tful yom. To counterbalance, just let me present all this. To counterbalance all that, we went through other extremes in order to create an environment of tahara. Okay. What kind of extremes am I talking about? Real extremes. Meaning, as we're about to see in a moment, the children that were born that were collecting the water for the para aduma, for the mayim chayim, or children that were born in an area that was free of any tumas mace, they were born on a, I'm going to say an island. It wasn't an island. It was a courtyard that was made sure to be free of tumas mace. It had a hollowed bottom so that even if there was tumah below, the tumah would come up, hit that little air gap, and the tumah would stop because of that little air gap. The children would be raised over there for the first 8 or 9 years of their lives. Then the children would be carted off on top of animals. I'm not making any of this up. I mean, I know it sounds amazing, but we're going to see all this inside. Children were transported on the backs of animals so that even if while being transported to the well where they're going to collect the water, they're going to The animal is going to block the tumah from going up. All the kalim that they use are kalim which are impervious to tumah, kalim that are made out of stone or made out of clay galalim. And all this, right, which the Gemara is going to point out wasn't all necessary, was to counterbalance the fact that they did this thing of being metame the kohen. Let's see all this inside.
And the first point was in such a way that wouldn't require a tumah, that would require a paraduma.
Correct. In other words, just sheretz. They would hit him with the sheretz. Eisvei Reish Lakish L'Rav Yochanan. Here we go. Chatzeres Hayu B'Sholayim B'nu Yisal HaSela V'Tachtem Chalul. So there was a courtyard in Yerushalayim that was built on top of a rock, and there was hollow underneath. Mimnei Kever Tahom, because you never know, there may be dead bodies underneath. And they would bring pregnant women, and they would deliver their babies there on the rock. Rock meaning, by the way, it must have been a big area. And let's imagine for a moment that, you know, houses were built there. And okay, and the children would be raised over there. And then here comes the animals. The animals were used for transport. And the children would sit on top of the animals. And they had cups in their hands, cups made out of stone, which are impervious to tumah. And when they drew from the well, they never left the top of the animal, because once they walk off the animal, that's it, they may become tameh. So, all this, of course, is a question on Rav Yochanan. Right? You're hearing the question on Rav Yochanan. Meaning, according to you, Rav Yochanan, what dead bodies are we talking about?
Right.
What are you doing over here? There are no dead bodies in Eretz Yisrael. Again, no unknown dead bodies. In Eretz Yisrael, the mob will never hit Eretz Yisrael. So according to you, Rav Yochanan, what's going on over here? Why are we doing all this? So Amar Rav Huna, Breid Rav Yeshua, Mala Asu Bepara. So the Gemara's answer is, these are Chumras. Meaning, Rav Yochanan would answer very simply, you're right, not necessary. Not necessary, but instituted. Ma'ala asu bepara. These are chumras that are done regarding the paraduma. Why? Because the reason I explained earlier. Because of the counterbalance. Meaning, since we go out of our way to be metame the kohen who burns a paraduma, so as a counterbalance, we go through these measures which may seem somewhat extreme, and now we'll say, according to Rav Yochanan, unnecessary, and we'll do it anyway because we want to counter the, we want to counterbalance. Yes, sir.
The pregnant women, if they are talking themselves, how about the children are not going to be?
Good. So Tosos, very good. So Tosos raises your point. The only tumma that this all is going to prevent is tumas meis.
Right.
Right. Correct.
So if the mother is a tumas meis, right?
But let's assume she's not.
How could you assume?
How can we assume? Maybe we did the paraduma with her beforehand. I'm suggesting that. The Gemara doesn't say that, but. Okay. Story once. This is a Tosefta. Story once that takes place where they found a dead body in Lishkas Dir Eitzim. If you look at the good wall over there, and you go to the northeast corner, you're going to find the storage house for the wood. Careful. Here. This one over here.
Yeah.
Now I'm pointing to this one, and I'm promise you it's northeast.
Mm-hmm.
Even though everyone's confused, but remember this is upside down.
Mm-hmm.
So flip it over. Okay. So and they found a dead body there. Okay. And pamachas matzu atamos blishkas diraitim avikshel ligzor tamal yushalayim. And then the rabbis got together and the chachamim got together and they said, oh, that's no good. Let's impose tum on yushalayim. So Amar Rav Yeshua Raglava Amar Labusho Chlima Hi Lanush Nigzer Tumal Ira Vaseinu. That's insanity, right? That is insane. Let's not do that. Aye Meisei Mabel Aye Meisei Nevuchanetzar. You show me where are the dead people from the Mabel? Where are the dead people from Nevuchanetzar? There are no dead people in Yerushalayim. I know empirically we just found one, but I understand that. But to respond with a tumma on all of Yerushalayim, Rav Yehoshua says, no way. It's a busha chlima. The language is very strong, obviously, but no way. No way I'm going to allow that. So, but again, mitikamra hachi lav lamemra delohavu. So, right, isn't what he's saying, listen to what Rav Yehoshua is saying, isn't what he's saying that We never had Meisei Mabul. The dead people of the Mabul never got here to Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, that's not what he's saying. Well, Tamech, because listen to the next thing he said. Harugi Nebuchadnezzar, Hachin Amid Elohavu. Nebuchadnezzar killed people in Yerushalayim. A lot of people in Yerushalayim. Right? And what do you mean? It didn't happen. Of course it happened. Elohavu Ufaninu. It happened and they cleared the area out. Hachanami Havu Ufaninu. Same thing over here. Meaning, what it could be is that we did have Meisei Mabul and we did have Meisei, and we know for a fact we had Meisei Nebuchadnezzar, but we cleared it out. So the Gemara then says, okay, v'i'afne v'ha'afne. So the Gemara says, okay, so then we're now going to go back to Reish Lakish. So according to you, so they cleared it out. So what are you worried about? So the Gemara says, nehid afne Yerushalayim mikul eretz yisrael lo afne. Look, we could spot check Yerushalayim and make sure that Yerushalayim has no unknown dead bodies buried anywhere in Yerushalayim, but we can't do all of Eretz Yisrael. They didn't do all of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Ika d'Amri, now a slightly different version of how this give and take went. Eisvei Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan. Here the challenge goes from Reish Lakish to Rav Yochanan. Ayei Meisei Mabul, Ayei Meisei Nebuchadnezzar. Right, where the Gemara quotes that last line of the Braisa. My la medahana havin hani nami havu. So the question is a very simple one. We know there was Nebuchadnezzar and the Meisei Nebuchadnezzar, so therefore we know there's Meisei Mabul as well. So, and Rav Yochanan's response is very simple. No. Just because they were lumped together doesn't mean it's the same question. Meisei Mabul means it never happened, and Meisei Nebuchadnezzar means it happens, but we cleared it out.
Can I ask a question? Why are they restricting like dead bodies just from these two events? You know, Yerushalayim has like thousands of history. Like, so all those generations after the Mabul and before Nebuchadnezzar, like many people died, they were not never buried inside Yerushalayim.
Unknown. This is all an issue of unknown.
Why are they focusing on those two
events? Because these events create unknown.
Right.
It creates suffix.
And buried.
The unknown. That's the whole issue over here. Eisvei, let's do a little bit more for today. Mikol she b'charav ameisu b'shlam l'didi dama yared mabul eretz Yisrael mishum hachi meisu aladidcha amai meisu. Okay, so Ben, this is your question from earlier this morning. In the pasuk Noach says everyone died, right? Noach was the only survivor. So what do you want to tell me? And now it's funny. You could say, I mean, the Gemara doesn't make the suggestion that no one lived in Eretz Yisrael, but let's not say that. So mishum hevla. So the Gemara says heat. Mabul didn't hit Eretz Yisrael, but he did. The water that surrounded the water that came down was boiling water, and so the boiling water, even for those areas that were not hit by the Mabul, were hit by the heat. Oh, in 2 short weeks from now, the Hamas Amalach Shachacha. Right, the king, the anger of the king subsided, but you see the word shachacha refers to boiling, simmering heat. So Ika da'amre, Ezra of Yochanan ben Shlach, Mikol Asher b'Charav Meisu B'Shlam L'Didi Damin Alach Yarei Mabul Eretz Yisrael Mishum Hachi Hava Charava Ela Didcha Mai Charava. So the Gemara says, what dry land are you talking about? Charava Shaisa Mi Kara. The original charava, meaning the original dry land, my karale charava, because Rav Chista, Rav Chista bedor amabul onigzor gzera al dagim shebiyam. It didn't hit the fish. Shenamar mikol asher b'charava meisav lo dagim shebiyam. Fish were not affected by the mabul. By the way, this is Tosfos' question. It's a tough question. Meaning, even according to the opinion of Rav Yochanan that the flood didn't hit Eretz Yisrael. People died in Eretz Yisrael from the Hevel. So what happened to those people? Meaning, so Rav Yochanan's whole position is we don't have uncertainty in Eretz Yisrael. But if
they died, they knew what it was.
Right. I guess what we'll say is that with the Mabul, meaning people died, and then when the water receded, people submerged underground unknown. I guess my suggestion.
Why was Nebuchadnezzar? There was no submersion there.
Okay, I hear that. Okay, we'll stop over here.
Were they boiling the fish?
We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Okay, we're almost done with the sugya. The best is yet to come in the sugya. Just wait till. Wait till beginning of tomorrow morning. But we have basic machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish whether or not the Mabul hit Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yochanan says it did not. Reish Lakish says it did. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow.